The future of U.S.-Russian relations with each day looks more confused and conflicted, with the destruction of Aleppo, Syria, and Russian air power helping to hand that city back to Syrian government control. There is yet another issue on which the U.S. and Russia seem to be at odds. It's becoming clear that Russian cyber espionage has had some impact on the U.S. election. The extent to which Russian information warfare has disrupted the 2016 election is unprecedented by a foreign power, according to security sources, sticking by their story, despite Trump dismissals this week. And so right off the bat, even before the inauguration, there is bipartisan support on Capitol Hill of an investigation into the alleged Russian hacking. Unease over the future Trump administration's relationship with Russia and Vladimir Putin has only been exacerbated this week by the appointment of Exxon CEO Rex Tillerson, a man with billions at stake over sanctions on Russia's oil assets. Maryland Senator Ben Cardin is the ranking Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and he says there's no reconciling recent Russian moves as the actions of an ally.
They're certainly not our friend. They certainly have done things that you would consider to be an enemy. When you attack a country, you're an enemy, and they attacked us through the use of cyber. They try to interfere with our elections. They certainly have been counter to us in regards to what they're doing in Europe and in what they're doing in the Middle East.
Do you believe that Donald Trump has creditors inside of Russia?
No, I'm not. I don't want to draw that conclusion. I think that what we need to do is understand what the intentions of Russia. Donald Trump has his own agenda, his own reasons for what he does and what he states. But it is of concern as to what Russia's intentions are in regards to the United States.
Well, let's just look at it from Russia's perspective. I mean, you've got Hillary Clinton and the continuation of the Obama administration, which is essentially a policy of confrontation on matters of NATO and the Baltic states and more war games in Europe and in Eastern Europe versus somebody who is a wild card on all of these questions, has said complimentary things about you, and in many ways is someone who does business in Russia. It's kind of a no-brainer. It seems to me that Vladimir Putin would obviously prefer Trump over Clinton.
Well, I'm not prepared to draw that conclusion. I think that's one of the areas that I would like to see part of an independent investigation. What we do know is that Donald Trump has business interests in Russia. We know many of the people he is selecting to be his close advisors or part of his cabinet have business connections in Russia. We want to make sure that those that are in positions of trust, including the President of the United States, that their decisions are based solely on what's in the best interest of the United States. So it's critically important for Mr. Trump to divest himself of any potential conflict. But it's equally important that whoever he selects in top positions, including Secretary of State or any advisors, that their interests are going to be first with the United States.
Well, since you mentioned Secretary of State, what do you think of Tillerson having a $500 billion deal in the Arctic with Russia right now that's under sanction?
I think in Mr. Tillerson's case, the confirmation hearings are going to be absolutely critically important as to whether he should be confirmed or not as Secretary of State. We need to understand what he's doing with his financial interests. We need to know what the statements he has made historically concerning Russia and sanctions, whether that was just as a result of being CEO of Exxon or whether that was his own personal beliefs. There's a lot of questions that need to be asked, and we got to get straight answers.
With its veto in the Security Council and support for Bashar al-Assad in Syria, do you consider that Russian air power and strategy in general have committed war crimes against civilians in Syria?
Well, I agree with Secretary Kerry that we need to investigate potential war crimes that have been committed by Russia. They have clearly supported the Assad regime. They have supported attacks against humanitarian convoys. We now see the slaughter of civilian populations in Aleppo. All that has been accommodated because of Russia support for Assad. In some cases, it's been direct Russian attacks that have caused these atrocities.
All right, Senator Cardin, I'm going to push you on this then. We've got war criminals in Moscow as far as Syria is concerned. We've got threats to NATO and the Baltic states, which are against U.S. policy and the sanctions regime that you've talked about that is absolutely critical to keeping the peace in Eastern Europe. At what point in your mind does this delegitimize this election?
Well, I'm deeply disappointed by the outcome of the election. I don't make any secret about that. It was a free and fair election. Donald Trump was elected according to the Constitution of the United States, and he will be our next president.
So then there's nothing you're going to do. I mean, you're going to poke around and investigate, but there's nothing you can actually do about any of this.
No, I disagree with that. We have our voices. We have our votes in the United States Senate. There's a confirmation process. I've already expressed myself as to what Mr. Trump has to do in regards to his assets. The Constitution is very clear. We don't want to have a constitutional crisis on January 20th. So there are a lot of steps that Mr. Trump must take now before he takes the oath of office. He was supposed to announce what he was going to do with his assets. He's now postponed that till the first of the year. That's going to be a very important announcement. So there's a lot of steps yet to be taken.
I just wonder where your clout is, Senator Cardin. I mean, he's already postponed this. I mean, this is just going to get put into the sort of back burner.
Well, this is not an option. The Constitution of the United States, he takes the oath on January 20th to uphold the Constitution. So it's not an option for the incoming president. He must take action against it. Otherwise, he's in violation of the Constitution.
And therefore, you will begin impeachment proceedings?
No, I did not say that at all. I said we want to avoid that. We want him to take steps to avoid that potential problem. So my only point for raising this is that we are not, he's not yet the president of the United States. He still needs to take certain steps. We expect him to take those steps. But on January 20th, when he takes the oath of office, he'll be held accountable for the Constitution and upholding the Constitution.
He's the ranking Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Democrat from Maryland, Senator Ben Cardin. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Good to be with you. Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.